Hello, this is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential. Live life your way. It is Tuesday, and as always, I am excited and happy to be here. We have our guest in the studio, which is Leora Edut. Leora Edut. I can never say that.
I'm never really sure if I do it correctly
or not.
Oh, good. And Your accent does it so freaking fabulous. So tonight we're
going to be talking about goddess life. We're going to take a journey with Leora through her life to developing her company, Goddess on the Go. But before we do that, I just want to read a poem that my sister sent to me today and said that I should read. Now, seriously, it's really small writing, so give me a minute. It's called Don't Quit. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems or uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh, when your care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but do not quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turns about when we might have won had we stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint, faltering man once the struggle has given up, when he might have captured the victor's cup, and he learned too late when the night slipped down, how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It might be near when it seems so far. Mm-hmm. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem the worst that you must not quit.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like about right. That sounds about right for the life of an entrepreneur.
Sounds about right. And we're in Mercury retrograde, which makes everybody want to quit some shit right now.
No, we can't quit. We can't. Well, we can, but we mustn't.
No, we can't. And today, probably everybody, if I was reading in my sister's horoscope, that we got like a little tiny sense of a little Mercury release, like it wasn't such of a as like the past 3 days have been like.
You know, it's so. I don't go by those things. You know, people say that Mercury is in retrograde. I don't even like pay attention to that stuff. So I don't even know what could or could not be happening.
Mm.
I don't pay attention to that. Mm. I just kind of like live in a space that I'm doing my life and, you know, things happen and things don't happen sometimes.
Yeah.
And you have to look, why is that happening or not happening? And then just like, you know, take another stand, try it on again.
Yeah.
I'm not really into the horoscope thing, even though I do like to read it when it's good.
Yeah.
When it says something good, right? And I'm looking for that good thing to happen.
Absolutely. And then you're
but other than that, nah.
Yeah.
I don't really do it.
I try to be as positive as I can when Mercury comes, but I'm like, it always throws me on my ass all the time. But it also gives really good lessons. Like, I just notice things like, things come up from my past that haven't been resolved yet. Or like, things that have been hidden from my view all of a sudden are like, oh, you didn't know this was going on behind closed doors. Oh, here you
no,
go.
Behind that closed eyelid.
Oh, right, exactly. The so, blind spot.
Anyway, so I just want, before we go, because, you know, I have to be mindful of who you and I are.
Yes, exactly.
Because we'll just like get deep and get
we'll
dirty
go,
and
we'll
just go
all
into
in,
it.
Honey, all
right?
in.
So I want you to introduce yourself first. First of all, I just want to introduce you. So this is Leora Edut. She is the co-founder of Goddess on the Go. So you just imagine beautiful women just on the go. This is Leora. Mm-hmm. So Leora, tell us a little bit about yourself. Introduce yourself to the people.
Oh, wow. Okay, put me on the spot. All right, here we go. So let's see.
Where are you from?
Yeah, give me some direction.
I'm from
Detroit, Michigan, born and raised there, and I've been out here in New York for the past 15 years. Mm-hmm. I was a former badass.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about that. What do you mean by badass?
Former badass is I almost went to prison. Oh, yes. Sharing all the tea here. Mm-hmm. And then I came out here to really change my life around. Mm-hmm. I got accepted to FIT, mm-hmm. Moved 300 something miles away. And there's that saying that, you know, everywhere you go, there you are. So I came out here and all of a sudden I'm like, damn, I'm attracting the same shit I was thought I ran away from. Right. And so I had to start and say, okay, the common denominator here is me. Mm-hmm. And so I was finally ready to take, like, look at myself. Right. Look at like, the gorgeous, beautiful things about myself, but also the things that are, like, not so the good news. And right. So luckily, I have two older sisters who were involved in transformational work maybe a year before I moved out here, and they introduced me to it. And mm-hmm. at first,
are you the baby?
I am the baby. And at first, I was like, baby badass. And at first, I was like, who the hell drunk the Kool-Aid? Like, everybody was smiling. And I was like, oh my God, what the hell? I was like, nobody is this happy in their lives. Like, I didn't believe that happiness like that existed, uh-huh. you know? Uh-huh. And so it started out with, I actually walked out that evening. I was like, hell no. And then my sister was like, you know, come check it out.
Mm-hmm. So what Lior is talking about is we met at Landmark, which yes. is Landmark Education.
Yes. Yes.
So it was a transformational workshop yes. that we both did. And you are completely the opposite for me. You're like, people can't be this happy. My interpretation was, oh my God, these people are so happy. I want some of that. Uh-huh. I want to be that happy. Why? They're so happy. I loved it. It was like the best thing. I knew that happiness like that existed. Mm. But I couldn't find it in New York. Mm. So, yeah, go ahead.
I had never seen that growing up in Detroit. I just was like, everybody in Detroit where I come from, it's like, you're hard. You know, it's like a hardened shell. Right. So it's like, that's the way you are. And so learning to soften has also been a really big thing. But mm-hmm. so I spent that weekend in Landmark, and I made forgiveness with myself for mm-hmm. all of my past choices. Mm-hmm. I forgave my dad, which God knows I never thought I would ever have a relationship with him mm-hmm. in this lifetime, but I have an okay relationship with him mm-hmm. now, and I'm not holding on to parts of my past that I think would have stopped me from really moving forward mm-hmm. and ahead. And I just dove into transformational work after that. I became like a workshop junkie, you know?
So looking at the past, because life is a series of contrasts,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So you have the past and now.
Yes.
And so you had the gap.
Yeah.
What's the experience of yourself from there to now? I know, just put it into words for us.
Wow. Okay, that's like 16 years ago. So there's been so many journeys, I would say, in between. Let me see. What's some keywords? Healing, forgiveness, openness. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness.
Did you find that happiness?
I did find that happiness. I also find that happiness is something that you create mm-hmm. from moment to moment. Mm-hmm. And also, I also learned how to also make friends with my rage and anger mm-hmm, and like mm-hmm. and learn to be okay with grief mm-hmm. and pleasure mm-hmm. and joy mm-hmm. and bliss and sisterhood. Like,
and I don't know if you guys can see her face. You should come over a little bit more so you can be in the light, girl. Step into the light.
Bring it
forwards. Yeah, so that people can see your...
This can't go all the way over because it's like okay. stuck on something.
That's fine.
Okay, let me do
Can
that.
You see the light? Can you see her light?
Can you yes. see my light? My glow?
Yeah, lift it up a bit.
Okay,
so you can,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead. So I just wanted people to see you. Well, you lit up when you started to say those things. I just wanted you to share that.
Yeah, I think those are a few words that I feel have really been at the source of my transformation.
Awesome. So you had rage and you had upset and disappointment. Yeah. So that's all in your past, right?
I wouldn't say that. I think that all human beings have...
No, but I'm saying that kind, that quality of that life, that's the past, right?
I think the part of... the part that's in my past is not letting the things that happened to me in my childhood and my teenagehood be used that as an excuse to stop me from moving forward and not to point the finger and blame out
and act out
my family or my past experiences for what I'm doing right now in the present moment. Yeah.
So that was great. That was really like authentic and very, very generous of you to share that, because I knew you were a badass, but not a badass that was like one step away from prison.
Yeah, I'm a badass that was one step away from prison. I own my shit.
What was it? What was the crimes that you used to do? Was it fighting?
Oh my God. So there are two different ones. So the first one was I was 18 years old and I had met this guy who was like...
It was always a guy, right?
Yeah, it was a charmer. And he owned a auto repair shop. And little did I know that him and his family were running major insurance jobs. And so he's like, you want to make $1,000? And $1,000 at 18 years old seemed like, $1,000. Yes, I'll do anything. What do you want me to do? She's like, oh, we're going to do this fake insurance job. We do them all the time. Don't worry about it. We'll fix your car up. You get a rental car. Like, they had it all figured out. So the feds came and they actually raided the shop while my car was in the shop. And they knew everything already. It was like, I was 18 and luckily I had no record.
You were just dumb.
Yeah, I was just like naive. And the second time was a girlfriend who worked at like a Macy's. It was called Marshall's back home. And she's like, just put something in the bag, some extra stuff in the bag when you check out. And I was like, no, I've already been down that route. And she kept asking. And finally, I was, again, gullible, naive, and I did it. And I wrote a check at that. So they tracked me by my check. I was like... Oh my, you know, the things you do in your, I would say early adult, late teenagehood.
So when we'll come back, we'll hear more fantastic, amazing things about this woman here. Now I can see how she's transformed her life. So we'll be right back. Thank you.
See you soon.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday, 9 to 10 Eastern Time, and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo! Woo!
What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
I am back, and this is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And I just want to remind you all that Talk Radio NYC, we have a marathon taking place on the 21st of December at 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. We also have a GoFundMe page at GoFundMe.com, talkradio.nyc, marathon. We need new equipment. And so you won't be able to hear us, and you definitely wouldn't be able to hear Leora if we don't get new equipment. Mm-hmm. So dig deep, dig until it hurts, and donate. Mm-hmm. Donate to our GoFundMe. Thank you. So, Leora,
yes,
you are the founder of Goddess on the Go. Tell me a little bit about that, and tell me how a badass can go from Goddess on the Go, from that to Goddess on the Go.
Okay, yes. So along my transformational path, I was probably doing that about 6 or 7 years when I realized how isolated I was.
Because you were a makeup artist.
I was a makeup artist, yes.
And a damn good one. If you go into my website, you'll see the work that she did. I'm still using it like 100 years later. I haven't done any recent headshots, but she's a really good makeup artist.
Thank you, goddess. And so, yeah, I was working in the industry. I was working with a lot of celebrities. I was traveling a lot. And I had just hit a place of burnout in my life all over. I mean, you know, when you really immerse yourself in doing a lot of work, right? But you're going on this journey sometimes, and it feels like you're going on it alone. And it can be very lonely and very isolating. And especially because my outer world wasn't yet reflecting my inner world. So it was almost like I'd show up to these makeup jobs and I'd have to be the makeup artist, right? I couldn't be Leora. At least that's what I thought, right? That's what I told myself. And so when I hit this moment where I was like, no more, my sisters were going off to do a course on sisterhood and I couldn't afford it. So I said, I'm going to start my own sisterhood in my apartment. And it started out with 7 women who I always say I would have never in my life ever chosen as friends, because there was something about them that made me feel really good about myself when I was around them. And I couldn't ignore that. And I wanted some of what they had. And so I invited them.
That's so funny you should say that. They're not the women that you would have chosen, but you felt really great around them.
I felt I wasn't used to feeling good about myself. I was used to beating myself up. I was used to being in relationships where I was always the giver. And when it came time to receive back, or when it came time to have, you know, the support reciprocated, it was like nobody was on the, you know, nobody was
there on the other
to
side.
Be found. Right. And so, you know, it was like with these women, it was like they already like showed up and they were like so full in their bodies and just like full of energy. And I was like, oh, my God, if I could only be that way, what would my life be like? And
so you became that way, or you took on some of those qualities?
I took on some of those qualities. I mean, it was definitely not an overnight process to even learn how to trust other women when we're in a society that teaches us that we have to compete with women, or that women are catty and backstabbing is just like such a like almost like a mind fuck. I hate to say, like, I know we can curse here. Sorry if there's anyone 18 and under watching. Anyways,
one of the questions I had here was about your relationship with women prior to Goddess in the Go wasn't really healthy.
Oh, it was not healthy at all. Like I said, I was the giver. And I didn't know how to be vulnerable with other women. So I always came with my game face on and I was ready with my list to tell you all the great things and how fabulous my life was. When in all honesty, I was really miserable and I was going through RLS, real life shit, as my sister says. And I felt so much shame to share those things, to voice them out loud, that I just held them inside. And they were like, it was like kind of killing me inside. Right. Yeah.
Breaking you down.
Breaking me down, definitely.
Right. And yeah. What was the experience like when you shared them? Because I just want to say, for my life, when, you know, one of the things that I had shame around or didn't want to talk about, never wanted to talk about, was money.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely not money.
And that came from my father. Yeah. Like, my father being this West Indian man is like, don't tell people your business. No, ask nobody for nothing. You know what I mean? Don't ask for money.
Yeah.
You know, like that kind of thing. So it was like, oh my God, how do I even... If I've been trained and it's been ingrained in me never to talk about money, never to ask anybody for anything, how the hell am I going to survive? Especially I left England and came here and was married and knew one person, which was my husband, until I started getting out. It was like, how do I deal with myself?
Yeah.
You know, so what was your shame?
So funny. My dad was like this. I would go out on dates with guys and my dad would be like, Leora, Leora, did you pay? You better pay for the date. Did you pay for your half? You know, I'd be like, really? No, Dad, I did not pay for my half. You know, like, but it's like all that guilt and shame just around receiving was very much there. My dad's also an immigrant as well.
Mine too.
So it was just like this, like, old school mentality of like, work really hard.
Work. Gotta work. Yep.
I'm telling you, it's like, it's still like a hard, it's still like, there's still so much undoing because I am a bit of a workaholic. I've learned that from my, you know, I learned that from my dad. But
so what did your dad, if you were lounging around the house or like,
anything, no, my dad would turn the lights on me in the morning, like, wake up. like, oh my God, he'd be like, hey, Leora, you are such a lazy, wake up. He'd like turn the lights on me at like 7 in the morning on the weekends. You're like, are you kidding me?
We had the same dad. Like, my dad would come home from work because he worked night, and he would creep up this, not creep, he'd walk up the stairs and he'd be like this, Nareen, get up. And I'd be like, I'm getting up. Nareen, get up. And there was a part of the hallway which I knew if he stepped on that part, I had to jump up out of bed and throw myself through the door. I'm up. Because he would always threaten to throw water on me.
Oh my goodness.
And he would say, because I wouldn't clean my room, which was my room.
Yes.
I was lazy, worthless, and good for nothing. So how that followed me throughout my life is that, like, I never lounged. I was always working.
Same.
I was driven like a monster.
Same. My dad's an entrepreneur. Like, he worked, how many jobs? He worked 2 jobs before he got let go of. He was working at, like, one of those plants. And
my father worked in a factory,
too. He worked in a factory. There you go, electronic factory. And they let him go. And he went full time with his, he had a landscaping business. Right. But the funny part is, it's like still that like small mind. It's like he would never let his business get as big as it could be. So it was like him and one other worker.
Right.
When it could have been like
him and a few
people. And then let me like, you know, keep expanding it.
I think my father didn't go into business. My father was, he couldn't read or write. So
okay.
I think he might have been dyslexic because he just couldn't do it. But my father, in my lifetime, I only know my father to have 2 jobs. One was at Peak Frame Biscuits. And then the other one was at this rubber plant in Streatham. And he used to work nights and we'd be so excited who was going to ride in the car to go take daddy to work. It was like, you know, it was a road.
Yeah.
Road trip.
Yeah. Same. We used to ride with my dad sometimes.
So these kinds of the immigrant mentality had a really big impact on you. It had an impact
on me.
And it had me be driven. And I had to learn to share myself with people. I had to learn to ask.
Yeah, absolutely. Same here. It was just like, on the go and then just like give. And then I have this mother who's very like giving and loving. It's like night and day, like Jekyll and Hyde almost, right? My mother's like soft and giving, but like giving to a default of like, you know, my mother would, I would catch my mother asleep on the typewriter. Uh-huh. Like my mother would be drooling on the type. I'd be like, Mom, go to sleep. And she, like, my mom went back to school twice. So it was like between the two of them, you know, I just saw this very like, you know, this family who was just all about like the goal.
Survival.
But there we go.
Survival,
but never like
living and enjoying and taking care of themselves.
Never living, never enjoying, and always a lot of fights around money in our household. Right. Yeah.
Well, my father came home and gave the money to my mother pretty much. They did have the occasional row, but my father, if my mother wanted something, my father pretty much gave it to her because he loved her that
much. Smart man.
Yeah, he was a smart man. But you know, the funny thing is, I said to myself, I don't want to be like my mother because my mother worked when she felt like it. If she wanted to go get a job, she'll get one. And when she didn't want to get a job, my father took care of everything. And I had it like, I didn't want to be that way. So I got the driven part of myself, like the drive, because one, I didn't want to be known as lazy, worthless, and good for nothing. And even though my father's been dead 1,000 years, I can still hear his voice in my head.
Sure.
But now I can tell it to shut the hell up.
Yeah, I hear you.
So we're going to take a break in, will we write? I'm saying we'll take a break and then we'll be right back.
See you in a few.
That's right.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you a curious person, always asking questions? Do you desire to be in the know? I'm your host, Antonia, of the show So Now You Know. Join me as I attempt to satisfy your curiosity. Listen live Tuesday nights from 8 to 9 p.m. weekly at talkradio.nyc.
If you have an interest in marijuana, you want to know about marijuana, law, policy, and culture, then feel free to join me, Joseph A. Bondi, every Friday at 11 o'clock in the morning on my show, In the Know 420 on TalkingAlternative.com. Legalize the herb to continue to resist the
passage of this necessary legislation. Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
Hi, this is Noreen Sumter, and I'm back with Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way with Liora Edut. And I would like to, again, talk about the Talk Radio Marathon, December 21st from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. We are doing it for our GoFundMe.com, talkradio.nyc. We need new equipment, so give until it hurts. I can't remember, but I will be on during the marathon. I'll let you guys know. I'm at night. Yes, I'm at 9, right? On the 21st. I'll be back on the 9th or the 21st. Okay, let's get back to Liora. What counts right now?
Okay.
So, tell me about Goddess on the Go. Tell me, you know, what's so special about it for you?
So during that sisterhood circle in my apartment, some major things really shifted in my life. The first being, like, once I kind of began to heal those issues around trust with women, I began to see women with just a new
vision.
A new sense of new eyesight.
Right.
And I was like, wow, women are so juicy and yummy and delicious and kick ass.
Sounds very sexual.
Yeah, but you know, it's sensual goddess. it's like a newfound love for women.
Right.
And
but would you say first it was for yourself?
Oh, it was definitely for myself. But what I would say is that I would have never been able to see myself if these women hadn't reflected back to me the best parts of myself that I could not see. I felt them. But
you couldn't articulate it.
You couldn't articulate it, and you can look in the mirror and say, I'm a badass. And like, not my old badass,
right,
but
I gotcha.
Like the new badass. Yeah, like, or like, I love myself, you know, and like, you can say all that, and it has a different energy when somebody else is saying it to you and they're repeating it to you week after week after week, and they're pointing out your brilliance. Mm-hmm. They're pointing out, how much they like you. They love you.
Right.
Yeah. And that's like, it's a whole other energy. It's like a very, it was a very heart opening moment for me. It was a very humbling moment for me. It was a very much like, oh, check my ego. And like, wow, what does it feel like to actually be vulnerable and to be seen and just to show up like in my messiness? And in
you could be you, your truth.
As my dear friend Phyla says, the masterpiece and the messiness. So I got to be all of those things. And I realized, I was like, there's so many women who just don't have access to sisterhood. There's so many women out here who, like us, work that 9 to 5 and then come home and work their other business, or they work 9 to 5 and they're just so wore out that they just like pass out with a bottle of wine on the couch and like some greasy pizza. I get it. No judgments here at all, right? Because like, I've been one of those women, and I also know that I wasn't living my life
at
the way I thought I was doing all this transformational work. And I was like, well, when am I going to actually live the life that I, you know, say I want to have? And so in sisterhood, I started living that life. I started traveling. I started to, you know, manifest opportunities my way. And like, things just came effortless, where everything before was such a push and a force and like a manipulation and an ego, stroke my ego and tell me how awesome I am, instead of like, just, hey, this is who I am. And if you like me, then, you know, maybe you'll want to support me just because, you know. And so I realize women just don't have those communities where they have the support.
So would you say, just for the women listening out there, does it take courage to take yourself on?
It takes a hell of a lot of courage. It takes a hell of a lot of courage to just say, you know what?
I don't know.
And I'm willing to say that I don't know.
Right.
I'm willing to go deeper into this. I'm willing to explore the parts of me that I'm most afraid of. But I know deep underneath that fear that there's something else for me.
So if you were like, you know, I get the sense of the texture that you became and becoming.
Mm.
Right. If you were to describe that as a texture, what would it be?
The texture I'm becoming now, I'd say silky.
Silky?
Yeah, silky smooth.
Okay.
Watery as well, too.
Creamy?
Creamy. Wavy.
Right.
Yeah.
Flowing.
Yeah, flowing for sure.
Awesome. And what would you tell a woman who's listening to this call right now that she has, because there's something that you had to give up, right, to step into. What was that?
I think the giving up is like that you know and that you're in control. And also giving up opportunities that may look shiny and wrapped in a red bow, but like your gut and your first chakra knows, like, this is not right for me. Mm-hmm. So you can really align
Give me a real live example of something like that.
I would say probably a relationship. Mm-hmm. There was a relationship with a guy I was dating, and he's a nice guy, don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. but he wasn't ready to commit. Mm-hmm. And everything looked good on paper. Mm-hmm. He lived in a fabulous building. He made lots of money. He was a handsome guy. Mm-hmm. The sex was great. Like, we went on great dates, you know, all of the things on paper. And we had this moment one day, and he told me he wasn't over his ex. Mm-hmm. And I asked him if he needed space, and he said, no, Lior, you give me more than enough space. And I got a clear message in my gut that said, if I don't give this person space, then I'm going to lose my mind, right. Basically. I'm going to be disappointed. I'm setting myself up to repeat the pattern of being with someone who's not emotionally available to give me what I want. And I can convince myself, I can look at, you know, each one of those things that look good, mm-hmm. and say, I can make this work. Mm-hmm. But, and like, give, like, try to convince myself. But honestly, my heart, my gut knew, it was like, I need to let this go.
And so you let it go.
I let it go, goddess. Right. Hard as hell, but I let it go.
So you have learned to listen to your intuition and listen to your gut.
Yeah.
And what did it take for you to actually start listening to that? Because that's where the trust is. You said you didn't trust people.
Yeah.
But really what there was is you didn't trust you.
I didn't trust myself. I didn't trust my own divine guidance. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I still don't get it perfect. Mm-hmm. Sometimes my ego wants to take over and be like, no, we're going to do it this way. And right. every time that happens, I fall right on my ass.
Right.
I would say that as I've gotten older, I've gotten clearer to just following my desires, mm-hmm. and my yes, even when it seems like a crazy impossible move, like having a child, or when I moved into my apartment, I was like, oh, I'm going to move into an apartment that's like $500 more. And it ended up being double my rent. But mm-hmm. when I walked in,
you felt comfortable.
My body was like, yes, this view.
Because the body really never lies.
The body was like in pure pleasure. It was like the views, everything. It was 5 blocks from the water. Like the neighborhood was just
everything
like,
worked.
Everything. And I said yes to it. And I've never looked back since then. You know, it's.
I believe that. Yeah. I always say to clients and myself, say yes to everything that you want if it feels right.
Yeah.
And then everything else will work itself out. That's how I got to this show.
Yeah.
Say yes to the show.
Yeah.
In 2013, I met Sam and was coming on the show. It didn't pan out. Yeah. I met him again 6 months ago or so. And I couldn't remember where I had known him from. It was like a brand new start.
Yeah.
Went into my Gmail. Oh, it's the show. It's time.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm. And everything worked out.
Yeah.
So it like takes practice.
Sure.
To listen to your intuition. Mine screams at me. It literally screams. Yeah. And it will curse at me.
Yeah.
And tell me, you know, fucking do it.
Yeah.
I will fight with it and go, no, in my head. This is all going on in my head, people.
Yeah.
Right. But then I'll just, you know, succumb and follow it. And it was the perfect thing to do. Yeah. So it's like trusting oneself that allows us to trust another. It's like loving oneself that allows us to love another. And that's when you start to see women being these wonderful, amazing creatures that we are because you saw that in yourself.
Yeah.
So kudos to those seven women that you said yes to.
Thank you. Yeah.
Because we wouldn't have you today.
It's true. And I say, you know, when you expand, the universe comes to meet you.
Absolutely.
Where you're at. Yeah.
The universe is a yes.
Yeah.
And it can't hear no.
No, it can't.
It only hears yes.
Yeah.
So if I say, oh, I don't want X, Y, and Z, it's going to give me X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to give me, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So we have to be clear and concise. So what
Absolutely.
I'm hearing is that you got clear and concise
in
your life. And when you're not clear and concise, you fall on your ass.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so that those 2 years of meeting together every week was the spark that said, I have to bring women together to give them this day of sisterhood, to give them a day to slow down. And also along the journey, I started meeting, it was like an underground world, like all these different movement experts, energy healings, integrative health nutritionists, all types of things that were like,
all types
what?
Of coaches, all kinds of body work, all kinds of mind work, all kinds of everything that we never knew that was possible.
Yeah. Sensuality coaches, like all types of things, tantra things that I've been like,
okay, yeah. He's just giving us the warning.
Yeah.
So my sister wanted to ask. My sister's in England and she listens to my show. She actually loves the show. And she wanted to know, what is it that you love about women? What's the best thing about women?
Oh, God. What's the best thing I love about women? I love about women is that when we get together in like a sacred space, that it's like we can share things that is like the healing medicine that another woman needs to hear in that moment. It's almost like an organic, like
symbiotic.
the way two women are drawn together, and that woman might hold the medicine for that other woman, and it could be them meeting for the first time, but she's given her the words, the medicine, a hug. Some words of wisdom, some words support. Of encouragement to remind her of who she is again.
Awesome. Yeah. So I just saw the finger. So we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth from Nourish the Soul, and on this show, you will uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to having a healthy relationship to food and your body. Join us every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Okay, so we're back with Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and we're speaking to Liora Iduk, which is, who is the founder of Goddess on the Go. So at the break, I asked her a question. Here's one of the questions. Is every woman a goddess?
Absolutely. So, my dear friend Mama Gina says that every woman was born a goddess.
Okay.
Yeah.
And my sister wanted to know, how is a goddess supposed to, and I like check marked the supposed to, because you know that word.
Yeah.
Behave. How is she supposed to behave? And is there a particular way?
A goddess is just 100% herself. She's every layer and she owns it. That means one day she could be meditating and the next day she could be twerking.
So she's twerking with full capacity of her full and complete self.
She's owning it. She's owning every layer.
Every layer of herself, right? And so she owns everything. The messy, the beautiful, the brilliant, all the not it. So beautiful when the day...
The grief, the rage, everything. All of that. The want to throw, you know, throw somebody up against the wall, right. You know, all of that.
Want to cuss till the cows come home.
Exactly.
Okay. And, you know, because like today, I think we have a lot more freedom and that goddess conversation is a lot more profound than it ever was.
Yeah, absolutely.
So is it, do you think it's because we're finding and really recreating ourselves and we're stepping out of the masculine?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there are so many women who have gotten sick. Like physically sick, like cancer, like died of stress at a young age, of hating their corporate jobs because it wasn't giving them life. And people are starting to relook at the way they live life. And women are like no longer just trying to
fit in.
Push and fit in. They're starting to say. And also, you know, even major corporations are starting to focus their attention back on a women's needs. Not all of them, but a lot of them are starting to say, oh, let's put a meditation room in or let's bring in a sensual expert to the boardroom just for the women.
Or they've given us more family time, family leave, because that's important.
That is important.
You know, I always think of my friends. You've had a baby.
Yes.
I mean, fortunately, you work for yourself,
thank
so that's
goddess.
All good.
Yeah.
Right. But I have friends who, or neighbors who have had babies, and the trauma and stress that they have to go through after like six to eight weeks or something
six,
like that?
Yeah, like
six weeks.
They try to make mom go back to work. You're just beginning to bond. And if you're breastfeeding, forget about it.
Right,
it's like,
right. Yeah. And you're still breastfeeding, right?
I am still breastfeeding.
Are you a proponent of breastfeeding?
I love breastfeeding. It's been the best thing to just bond with my daughter and just look into her little eyes. And sometimes she makes, now she's older, so she makes little silly faces. And this, she woke up from her nap and it's like, the first thing I said was boop. She said, yep.
Yeah, I had a friend that breastfed her kid for a number of years also. And I'm glad that, like, breastfeeding is something that they do a lot in Europe.
Yeah.
But when I first came to the United States, it wasn't something
it was like
taboo.
Yeah, it's like.
Boobs are to be played with,
I
not
know.
To be fed.
Exactly.
But why can't you have both?
Exactly.
So you've created both for yourself.
Yeah, I'm like, it's a boob. If you haven't seen it in your lifetime, I feel sorry for you.
So what's your favorite goddess? Like, you know, in ancient...
I love the goddess Lakshmi, the goddess of abundance. Uh-huh. She's just, like, dripping with, like, abundance of every single kind. Uh-huh. Yeah, she owns her shit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so would you describe yourself as a Lakshmi?
Some days.
Yeah. And some days, and what are the other days when you're not?
The other days, oh, my God, I'm trying to think of the goddess of... Oh, my God, I'm having a... Yeah, I'm having a brain fart right
now. Okay, it'll come to you.
Yeah, it'll come to me.
So do you have anything that you'd like to promote at this time?
Yeah, well, right now I am finally taking my goddess on the go into a virtual sisterhood circle because I have women from all over who are saying, you know, you're going to bring a goddess on the go here. You're going to bring a goddess on the go here. And having a 2.5-year-old just traveling all the time was something I had to be like, I have to pause this. So how can I still serve women who want to be a part of a sisterhood and don't have that in their cities, or they don't have that in their community. So I'm starting a virtual sisterhood
Would that be like, because Fem City, they're also a virtual organization where they have different divisions nationwide.
Yeah.
And what they do is each group comes together. So would it be something like that?
So my New York City goddesses are going to be the only goddesses that meet in person once a month, but everybody is going to be virtual. We're going to be on 3 video calls, so we will be, the second thing is better is being in person, is to still see each other and feel like each other's energy. So we'll be on a Zoom call for 2.5 hours. We're going to go in deep. It's a deep dive for 6 months.
And that starts in February?
Starts the second week of February.
Great. And where can people reach you on that?
They can go to goddess-onthego.com and go into the contact form and just shoot me a message. And then my assistant will send them a link to calendar, and then we can set up a call.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So let's just go back to a couple of questions.
Sure.
So what would you tell your 20-year-old self today?
Oh my goodness. I would tell my 20-year-old self that she's beautiful. I would tell her that she doesn't have to try so hard to be liked or loved. I would tell her to start finding the things that she found right about herself in this moment.
And what would you like to praise your 20-year-old self
for? Oh, my God. For being the first one on the dance floor, no matter where, who, or what. She knew how to get the party started.
So you'd like to thank her.
Yeah.
So what would you like to, like, going into the next 5 years, not like, what's the experience that you'd like to have of yourself? Not goals or anything like that, because those things are automatic.
Yeah.
We create those. But what's the experience that you'd like to have of yourself?
The experience that I would like to have is, I'm just taking a moment to feel.
Well, your daughter will be
that.
What, 7?
My daughter will be 7. I would like to, I'd like to take her on like a trip around the world. And there's been a lot of places that I still haven't explored in my lifetime. And I'd love to just do it together and have a total girls experience.
Would this just be, because I know you do these trips.
Retreat. I mean, I'm definitely going to do my retreats, but this would be her and I actually living all over the world, because I've only lived in Detroit and New York. And I feel that that's something that I really have. It's like on my heart to explore that. That's one of the things. And I see, one of my desires is also to train other women to actually lead Goddess on the Go all over the world. And another vision experience, you know, is to continue to work with the girls that I work with around sexual trafficking and to help them start their own business.
Right?
Yeah, GEMS.
Yeah. So what would you like to share? What are you grateful for in your life? I know you probably have hundreds.
Number one is I'm grateful for my daughter. She's been my biggest teacher so far. I'm grateful for my parents because they have also been really big teachers. I'm grateful for this body that I live in and to really be fully connected to her pleasure, to her anger, to her grief, to all the emotions, because I live through her, actually.
Anything else?
And I'm grateful for sisterhood, because on those days when I fall flat on my ass and when I want to crawl in a ball and give up, I can make a phone call and just hear the words or the healing and come through on the other side.
Okay, great. So, Leora, I just want to say thank you so much.
Thank you
for being on this show.
Me.
You know, I felt the highs and the lows. Like the highs and the balance.
Yeah.
Everything just like, it was very balanced. So
it's the Libra in me.
Yeah. Yes, the beauty. You're all about the beauty. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for
really appreciate, and thank you for allowing me to listen to my spirit and make that call and request you here. It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
And thank you all who watched the show, have made comments and stuff like that. And I would just like to say thank you. I feel very thankful in this moment. Don't you feel very thankful?
I feel very thankful
Thankful.
Yeah.
So we are now at the end of the show. I would just like to pop in again and remind you that we have a GoFundMe, which is talkradio.nycmarathon. We need new equipment. So without your help, there is no us. So you grant us being, we grant you being. And we look forward to receiving as little or as much, I'd like you to give until it hurts, donations. And next week, I will be on the show, and I look forward to you guys tuning in to see what goodies and who is going to be on the show next week. So thank you so much. Thank you, Leora.
Thank you for having
me. Thank you, people who were watching and tuning in. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth from Nourish the Soul, and on this show, you will uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to having a healthy relationship to food and your body. Join us every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a curious person, always asking questions? Do you desire to be in the know? I'm your host, Antonia, of the show So Now You Know. Join me as I attempt to satisfy your curiosity. Listen live Tuesday nights from 8 to 9 p.m. weekly at talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.